Beruchim Abayim Rabotai. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight's shiur is being studied in Nishmat Eliyahu Ben Gladys, Mr. Elishama Alav Shalom Levi, who was a member of our great community, son of Kiddushim, a man who loved the Torah and the Mitzvot, loved Eretz Yisrael, and happened to be that Borei Olam made it that when he went on one of his visits, he actually passed away on the visit in the hotel. But I believe that that's min hashamayim. That his passing was in the place that he loved, and of course he was buried in Eretz Yisrael, v'chiper admato amo. And always this time of year we say Devrei Torah in his memory. Again, Eliyahu ben Gladys. Ruach Hashem, tenihanu b'gan eden, amen. We're studying Parashat Shemini. I chose a difficult topic for tonight, for whatever reason. Usually Parashat Shemini gets lost in the shuffle somewhere, because it's usually Pesach, or right after Pesach, and then we're ready on Pirkei Avot. And because of the leap year, these Parashiyot stand by themselves. So it gives us an opportunity once and for all to make the analysis. Jimmy, I did mention Eliyahu ben Gladys, Uncle Eli, and we did say some good words about him, his love of community, love of Torah, mitzvot, love of Israel. And as I did say, that I don't believe it's a coincidence that when he passed away in Israel on that trip, that's from the Borei Olam, that he was to be buried there, and he was to be in the place that he loved. And Tehinish Matotzer Rabbi Sora Chaim, amen. So we're talking about over here the Parashat Shemini is the eighth day. Vayi Bayom Hashemini. The Gemara says it's one of the most celebrated days in history. Yom Hashemini is the inauguration of the Mishkan, opening day, as we would call it. It's a day that Aharon was anointed as Kohen Gadol. It's a day that his children were anointed as well. They brought Korbanot. Shekhinah came down. The Gemara says that day took 10 special crowns. Asara Atarot. 10 crowns were given in honor of that day. But very quickly that day turns into one of the most tragic and horrific days of Jewish history, where the sons of Aharon went in to serve, but they never came out. Well, I should say they never came out alive. And that, of course, is the story of Nadav and Avihu, that for whatever reason, it says a fire came down from heaven, and it snuffed the neshamot out, and as a result, Aharon was now hit with a double tragedy, a sudden tragedy. And this happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Pasuk says, Vatetze, or Vatetze, Esh Melefnei Hashem, the fire comes from God, Vatochal Otam Vayamutu Lefnei Hashem. A technical problem the Gemara discusses is how do you get those bodies out of the Kodesh. It's not so simple that everybody has access. It's not like you can call the Hatzalah or Shomrim and call some volunteers to run in there and do their work, although I'm sure they would go, if they had to, they'd go into that place as well. But the Gemara says, how did they get them out? I found an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that to me it's shocking, but nonetheless the Datzik in Im Bali HaTosafot does bring it down. And he says, well, first Rabbi the Ezer says, Shemetu Bahutz, that they actually died on the outside portion, Bamakom Shelevi'im Mutanim Nikanes. So the Levi'im actually were able to enter that spot, so the Levi'im came in and took them out. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Metu Ela Befnim. He says, no, they actually died in the Kodesh. Shene'emar Lefnei Hashem. So they passed away in Lefnei Hashem. So how did they take them out? Melamed Shenatnu Hakash Shel Barzel Letoch Pihem Ugrarum Vehotzi'um Lachutz. Rabbi Akiva says they took a metal hook and they stuck it in their mouths and they pulled them out. I mean, it's an amazing shita. It's Rabbi Akiva's shita. To me, that's part of the punishment. It's not enough that they died, but the way that their bodies are exhumed from the Kodesh, in such an odd way, a metal hook by the mouth and yanked out. I don't know if we have a reason for this, but nonetheless, the Pesukim then say that the nation is thrown into a mourning period. And the Pasuk says that Aaron now had certain laws that he has to fulfill. And then the Pasuk says, Ve'achechem kol bit Yisrael yivku et haserefa asher saraf Hashem. And all the Jewish people, kol bit Yisrael, they must cry. It's a command. Ve'achechem kol bit Yisrael yivku et haserefa. And I wondered when I read it this week, do you need a commandment to cry? Crying is it's an emotion. If a person goes to, God forbid, a tragic funeral, does the rabbi have to say to Botai, don't forget to cry? Crying is natural. When a person sees, God forbid, Chas v'Shalom, something that's said, he's brought to cry without a reminder, without somebody after telling him. What is this commandment? V'achechem kol bit Yisrael yivku et haserefa. Who wasn't crying that day? Tell me who wasn't crying that day. To lose two Kohanim in one shot, they were young men, tzaddikim. V'achechem kol bit Yisrael yivku et haserefa. More than that, you must know that we do mention the death of the children of Aaron on Yom Kippur. We actually read Parashat Aharemot in Shachrit. And the Parashah begins, Aharemot Shene Bene Aaron. Our tradition, the Jews from Aleppo, we actually, before the Sefer Torah, sing a poem, that was written depicting in detail the tragedy of this death. Alechem kahal ve'eda. We sing it in a very morbid tune. And the halakha brings down, the Mishnah Berurah brings it as well, in Siman Taf Resh Chaf Aleph. He brings down over here, from the Zohar HaKadosh, that one should try to bring himself to tears. You should try to cry about the death of Aaron on Yom Kippur. And I find this a very hard minhag. How could we cry over people that died 3,000 years ago? People that we didn't even know. Now, I'm not minimizing the tragedy, but the Zohar Kadosh is telling you should shed tears. And the Zohar Kadosh says, if you shed tears about the children of Aaron, you won't shed tears about your own children, God forbid. It's a protection. And everybody in the Kahal, of course, you know, tries to work themselves up into to get emotional about it. But it's not an easy, minhag to follow. The Zohar is asking a lot from us. To cry about people that we didn't know. I mean, with all the respect, they passed away 3,000 years ago. So that's already a long time. So you have some people that think about something else that gets them to cry. And then they think about their American Express bill or something like that. And then all of a sudden they start to cry. And then, okay, he's crying about Aharon, the children. But to cry directly about Aharon, Bnei Aharon, and why on Kippur? I'll be honest, I never thought about these questions till this week. They didn't die on Kippur. They died in Nisan. So it's got nothing to do with Kippur. We always think, oh yeah, Haremot, today they died. They didn't die today. If anything, they should make Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They make a ceremonial or something. But the Yom Kippur, to remember Bnei Aharon, about what happens in Parashat Shemini, and to cry about it, and to make a whole story, and make a whole song about it. Finally, it needs to be explained once and for all. I came to say a Hiddush tonight, B'si'ata D'Shmaya, to try to explain this and unravel this this issue. The Gemara in Sukkah the Gemara Sukkah is well known. There the Gemara is telling us the order of the day when Mashiach comes. It's a beautiful piece there because the Gemara gives us actually a schedule. First this is going to happen and that's going to happen. It gives us a blow by blow. And then it says at a certain point the Yetzer Hara is going to show up. The Samech Men. The Satan. And the Gemara says the Tzaddikim are going to see the Satan, the Samech Men, the Yetzer Hara, and he's going to appear to them like a big mountain. And they're going to start to cry. And they're going to say, wow, look at this big mountain, and we were able to scale it, and we were able to overcome it. They're going to cry from joy. And then the Rishayim are going to have their moment with the Yetzer Hara. It says it's going to appear to them like a little piece of hair, a small hair, and they're going to cry, and they're going to say, oh, we couldn't overcome this little pipsqueak, this little hair's breath. And then it says God is going to come, and he's going to make Shechitah and the Yetzer Hara. He's going to kill him once and for all. Mila mavet lanetzach, and you know, the killer, the shochet, which is the Yetzer Hara, is going to be once and for all put to rest. And everybody says, good for him, he deserves it. Yimach shemo, the samech mem. We're waiting for that day, you know, we're waiting that day for thousands of years. Finally, it's going to happen. And then comes the great rabbi called the Baal Shem Tov, and he asks, you know, a bold question. He says, why should we kill the Yetzer Hara? What did he do wrong? He's only doing his job. I mean, he didn't ask to be the seducer of mankind. God gave out jobs. Raphael happened to get a good job. He's the angel that brings healing to the sick people. Michael became the bearer of good news. You know, Gabriel becomes the angel of fire. Everybody was given a job. They have too much choice. And the Yetzer Hara, when he got his job is to take the 613 mitzvot and try to trip up the people. God says, Barati Yetzer Hara. I created the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara doesn't work for himself. He doesn't freelance. He's an employee of God. And God clearly gives him his instructions. And he does good at it. I don't think there's an angel that's more obedient than the Yetzer Hara. He fulfills his job just on myself. I'm talking from my own personal experiences. He's very successful. And I'm sure others as well. That the Yetzer has great success rate. So for that you kill him? If somebody works for the government, for the Supreme Court, and his job is to push the button on the electric chair. It's not the best job, but it's a parnasa. He has this job. So they bring him victims on death row. He puts the helmet on them. He puts the wristbands on them. He says the last words with them. And then I'll be Urhamet, and he pushes the button. And over the years, the Supreme Court brings him 100 people that are, you know, death row candidates, and he pushes the button. And then after the 100th victim, they tell him, oh, you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life now. Why? You burnt these people, 100 people you burnt. I burnt these people? You told me to burn them. That's my job. You pay me to do this over here. I didn't convict them. The court convicted them. And the same thing with the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara does all his work, and he has all the licenses to do this. And then all of a sudden they come along and tell him on the final day of Mashiach, we're going to shochet when everybody's happy. Oh, bilah mavid lanetzach, good for you, rasha merusha. And why doesn't anybody defend the Yetzer Hara? The Baal Shem Tov says if the Yetzer Hara is a good lawyer, they should defend him and say, hey, he doesn't deserve to die. What did he do? Baal Shem says a phenomenal hidush. If he didn't say this chiddush, nobody could say this chiddush. But this is the chiddush that he says, and he has two proofs to it. So he backs it up. It's backed up. He says, yes, the Yetzer Hara has rights to trip up mankind, but he has certain rules that he has to play by. The problem is he doesn't play by the rules. And once already he doesn't play by the rules, that's why he's guilty. What's the rules? God says, listen, Yetzer Hara, there's 365 averot. And there's 248 mitzvot. You're able to present averot to the people and seduce them to the best of your ability to commit an avera. Or to try to desist them from doing a mitzvah. That's fair game. The Yetzirah could put a cheeseburger in front of a person and, you know, create an aromatic smell that's coming out of it and make the guy hungry as could be and, you know, start to create all sorts of rationalizations why it's in it. No problem. So long as you present the Avera for what it is, and then you can use all your seduction techniques, a man has free will to resist you or not. That's fair game. What he says the Yetzirah is not licensed to do is to present the Avera as a mitzvah. He cannot fool the victim into thinking that the Avera is indeed a mitzvah. He has to present it for as it is. He's not allowed to sugarcoat it and put chocolate on it and present poison as if it's a candy. That is already too much of a deception. That's not accepted. And that's what he does, and that's why he's guilty for that one extra act of deception. So they asked the Baal Shem, where do you know that from? This is very simple. Page 1 of the Bible. God tells Adam and Eve they can't eat from the tree. It's very black and white. And there's a snake there. Now the snake didn't just evolve from a spontaneous generation. The snake was created from God. The Nahash. And the Nahash is the Yetzirah Ra. God created him. Why did God create the snake? To seduce Adam and Chava. Otherwise the snake would not be there. So Hashem created the Nahash for that purpose. And the snake succeeds in seducing both of them. And what does God tell the snake? Ah! Arurata! You're cursed! Chop your legs off! Crawl on the ground! Eat dirt for the rest of your life! So what did you create me for? You asked me to seduce them. That's my contract says. You have one purpose. Try to seduce Adam and Chava. Let's see if their free will resist you. They lost! Why should I get punished? Adam and Chava have no problem. They should be punished. They didn't exert their free will properly. But what do you want from the Nahash? Says the Baal Shem. Because how did they present? How did the Nahash present eating from the tree? He said if you eat from the tree, not that it's a sin, but do it anyway. Smells good. You're never going to taste something like this. It's incredible. You're going to feel good. He could have done that. Instead he says, what are you talking? Eating from the tree is the biggest mitzvah you'll ever do in your life. And he started to paint the picture. You'll be like God. It'll bring you to religious levels. You're going to be divine. God says, that you didn't have a right to do. To come along and take the Avera, and now all of a sudden put a coating on it, and present it to the victim as a mitzvah, that's already a dirty trick. It's enough to resist a sin, but now to try to see a mitzvah that it's really an Avera underneath, that already is quite difficult. We're still responsible, but the Yetzirah is going to be guilty for that as well. Where does he find this in the Gemara? He finds it in the Gemara Shabbat. The Gemara Shabbat is talking about the Isur of Shechita. On Shabbat you cannot allow to make Shechita. Slaughtering. Shochet. So the Gemara asks in Shabbat, Shochet Mishum Maim Mechayev. What's the Isur in Shechita? What did he transgress? What's the Avon exactly? You know, which, so the Gemara says, amazing answer, Shochet Amay Mechayev Mishum Tzobeya. Gemara says, because he's dying. D-Y-E. What is he dying? He's dying the skin of the animal. When he makes the Shechita, the blood comes out, and the blood now goes onto the skin and causes it to become colored. So shochet hayav mishum tzobeya. That's a simple interpretation of Gemara. Tosfot, by the way, if you look at the Tosfot has a one line there that people struggle to understand what he means. It says shochet. So the Tosfot says ashochet de'alma ka'e. It's talking about stam, a guy shochet de'alma. I don't know exactly what the Tosfot wants with that. Who else are we talking about? Shochet from not Alma? The Shochet the Alma guy. So the Baal Shem says, you know what this Gemara is saying? You know the ultimate Shochet is? You know who the Shochet of the Alma is? You know who the Shochet of the world is? The Samech Mem. After all, the Yetzirah, he's the Malach HaMavet. So the Gemara is asking, Shochet, Amay Mechayev, why is the Yetzer Hara going to be Hayav? He's only doing his job. Shochet, Ashochet De'alma Kai. What is the Shochet De'alma Hayav for? He's doing his job. And you know what the Baal Shem answers based on the Gemara? Mishum Tzoveya. If he would have presented you the Avera as it is, he's not Hayav. But when he paints the Avera, and he sugarcoats the Avera, that's called Simi'ut. That's called the misrepresentation. To come along and fool us into thinking, and this happens all the time. I'm sure it happens to you that once in a while, you whisper in your ear and say, it's a mitzvah to speak this Lashon Hara. It's not Lashon, it's a mitzvah to speak it. You have to be very cautious when you hear those type of things, when they're coming to tell you that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to embarrass him. It's a mitzvah to do this over here. Let's be very careful, because that religious zealotry of wanting to do mitzvot, one has to check it 1,000 times to make sure that it's not a forgery. Whenever you hear that voice in your mind that comes and tells you, you know, it's a mitzvah to be mazik, you know, when you have a neighbor that's, you know, rude and you're angry at them, and therefore the yitzhak comes to you, it's a mitzvah to, you know, do something, damage them, you know, block his driveway, teach him a lesson, you know, it's a mitzvah, show him, and you don't think too much, and all of a sudden you find yourself doing things and you think they're mitzvot. And that's the yitzhak hara that's coming to do that. Shochet amay mechayev. Mishum Tzoveya. That's what he says. That's why ultimately he's guilty. Now, according to this, I understand the Yetzer Hara, when he comes to the Rasha'im, he doesn't have to do all these tricks. He just presents them to Avera. The Rasha, he sees the cheeseburger and he eats it. He doesn't need to be tricked and duped and deceived. That's why the Gemara says to the Rasha, the Yetzer Hara looks like a little hare. Because he doesn't deceive him that much. He can trick him and get him to trip up, even if he presents the Avera as Avera. But the Tzaddikim, it says, Nidmeh Lahim Kehar. Because to the Tzaddik, he's not doing an Avera. You can't tell the Tzaddik eat a cheeseburger or go Mehalel Shabbat. Or go talk Lashon Hara. That's a marked Avera. That's a skeleton with bones. He sees it from 100 miles away. So to the Tzaddik, the Yetzer has to use a very, very great tactic. Men and Kehar. He comes with a very, very hard, big tactic. That's what it means, that Men and Kehar. The Baal Shem said on this, we say in the Mishnah and Zivahim, we read it every morning in our prayers. The Mishnah says, Kodshe Kodashim Shechitatan Batzafon. If you have a certain Korban that's holy of holies, Kodshe Kodashim, where do you slaughter this Korban? In the north, Shechitatan Batzafon, in the northern part of the Beit HaMikdash. But the Baal Shem learned it like this. Kodshe Kodashim, that's referring to the Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, the Kodshe Kodashim. Shechitatan, where does the Shochet, where does the Yitzhak get them? But Safun, he has to hide the Avera. He cannot present them in Avera as it is. Shechitatan, but Safun. He has to present the Shechitah, he has to come and get them where it's concealed. Now if this is true what we're saying, I'd like to say a chidush. I have to be careful what I'm going to say, because I'm going to be comparing two types of sins now. And it's going to sound like I'm saying one type of sin is better than the other. And of course, some of the members will say, oh, so he's saying you could do this sin and not that sin. No, what I'm doing is I'm just discussing here the lesser of two evils. They're both evil. There are those that commit sins from ta'aba, from desire, lust. They can't control themselves. And then there's those that commit sins ideologically. Which is worse? The ideologue or the Baal Taaba, the lustful man? Well, they're both bad. Zeinu v'elav v'zeh terefa. Geinam is big enough for both of them. That's for sure. There's not a shortage of wood in Geinam to burn both these characters. But we're talking away from a philosophical and a hypothetical standpoint. You see, the Baal Ta'ava, he knows it's a sin. He can't control himself. He knows you can't smoke a cigarette on Shabbat. He knows it already. He knows it's Avora. He cannot control himself. He knows you can't text on Shabbat. I cannot control. And the proof of the pudding is that right after he does the Avera, he feels terrible. He feels terrible and he feels guilty and he feels all upset about himself. Yesterday I got the best of him. There's hope for that guy because he'll make the Teshuvah. There's hope. And not only that, but I'll prove to you in a minute, it's a person that's plagued by lust, it's very easy to get him to change his mind before he does the sin. He just needs a little rebuke. He just needs somebody to tell him, what's going on? What's going on? It's not proper. He doesn't need too much. And even doesn't have to come from a big tzaddik, by the way. I'll give you an example of a Baal Ta'ava that doesn't need a big hakam to rebuke him. The Gemara says that when Bilaam came to curse the Jewish people, what was driving him? Two things, money and honor. That was the main thing, money. He was negotiating. He said, you know, listen, if you pay me this amount of money and you give me a lot of honor, then I'm willing to go. This was his drive. So he was filled with lust and ta'ava. God says, a guy like that, very easy to rebuke. You don't have to send him the biggest Tamid Hakam. So who does he send him? The donkey. Even a donkey could just turn to Bil'am and tell him, what are you doing? And to a Baal Ta'ava, that should be enough. And then already after the donkey rebukes him, he tells Balak, I can't do anything over here. I'm limited. I'm stuck over here. The donkey rebukes Bil'am because he's a Baal Ta'ava. It's not a debate and it's not a religious argument. He just has to tell him, what are you doing? What are you doing? Take another example of a sin. And that's the sin when the brothers sold Yosef. When the brothers sold Yosef, that wasn't out of lust. They sat down in Beit Din, and they came up with a halachic discourse, a whole pitpul, why halachically he's guilty, and why it's a mitzvah to kill him. And after they threw him into the pit, it says they sat down and ate a seuda. They didn't feel guilty after they did it. On the contrary, they celebrated. Shall come ruthless people. They throw their brother in the pit and they go have a se'uda. They thought they did a mitzvah. The Yetzer Hara told them, "Ubi artara mikarmecha. You got to get the evil out of your midst. You're a Beit Din. He's pursuing you. He's usurping the throne. They'll give you 10 reasons why he's guilty." To talk the brothers out of that they're wrong, you can't just tell them, what are you doing? On the contrary, you tell them, what are you doing? They say, what are we doing? Chazak Baruch, you should tell us. You should give us a medal of honor. What are you doing? We're doing mitzvot. What are you doing? You can't just tell a guy, talk out. There, to talk him out, there you need a whole undoing of the brain there. That you need lawyers to come and explain to them why their thinking was flawed. Why what you're thinking is a mitzvah is not a mitzvah. That's why I once explained the Mishnah. The Mishnah explains, Mishnah reads in the Pirkei Avot, Oy lanu miyom adin, ve'oy lanu miyom atokecha. What is deen and what is tochecha? Woe to the day of judgment and woe to the day of rebuke. And I explained it like this. I said, because people commit two different types of sins. One is that they go after their lust. That already, it's enough to get a rebuke from God. God just has to tell you, what are you doing? What did you do? That's tochecha. That's like the donkey rebuking Bil'am. But then there's the other averot that unfortunately we don't even realize that they were out. We're thinking our whole lives we were doing right. So God's going to come after 120. It's not enough for God to say, what did you do? So what did you do? Like Shaul HaMelech said, what I did? Hakimoti Devar Hashem. When Shaul rebuked Shaul, Shaul had no clue that he did something wrong. On the contrary, by him saving Agag and not killing the animals, he thought he's doing the greatest mitzvah of his life. So when Shmuel tells him, what are you doing? He says, what do you mean what I'm doing? I'm the Hakimoti Devar Hashem, I'm doing the word of God. And then all of a sudden, he has to explain it to him. That's already, he has to go into a deen with him. He has to go in. Rebuke is not enough. Rebuke can break lust, but rebuke cannot break a person that thinks he's an ideologue that's doing the right thing. And therefore we say, Oy lanu miyom adin, that a lot of things that we do, that we think that we're right, it's going to come a time we're going to realize that we're wrong. The Gemara says, because you're going to ask me, is there, how do I protect myself from this Yetzirah? How do I know now that whenever I'm doing a mitzvah, that there's not an Averah underneath it now? Somebody said today, Rabbi, you're scaring me now. Now I have to second guess every single mitzvah that I'm doing. I don't know if it's if there's an Averah underneath it. I don't know where it's coming from anymore. Now I have to be suspicious that the Yetzirah is making me a deception of all sorts. So there's two advices how to overcome this, of course. David HaMelech gave one of them, and the second one is actually a Gemara. I'll give you both advices how to protect yourself from this issue. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Adonai li be'ozerai, va'ani ir'e besone'ai. What does it mean? Hashem, I need you. Hashem li, I need you, Hashem. Be'ozerai, with those that are trying to help me. Va'ani ir'e besone'ai. I could deal with the enemies. A simple interpretation is, if you know who your enemies are, so you can deal with them. The problem is your friends. Your friends that are your enemies that you don't know. That's the wolf that comes dressed like a sheep. Him you don't have a protection from. So therefore David HaMelech is saying, God, Hashem li be'ozrai. You help me with my friends. I'll deal with the enemies. But according to what we're saying now, the biggest enemy of men is the Yetzirah. And therefore David HaMelech says, when the Yetzirah comes to me and brings me an Averah, I don't need, I'll fight him. I'll use my free will to fight him. When I can identify the enemy, but Hashem li be'ozerai, I need you to come when he's trying to help me. When the Yetzirah comes to present me mitzvot, when the Yetzirah comes with a long beard and a hat, and he comes and says, I'm your friend. Hashem, I cannot see through sometimes the guise of the Yetzir. Hashem li be'ozerai, when the Yetzir comes to help me, and he comes to say, it's for your religious benefit, and it's the Shem Shamayim, and it's a mitzvah, and it's what Hashem wants. So I say, oh my God, this is, who's talking? Hashem li be'ozerai, there I need you to help me to see through my real friends. That Yaakov Avinu said it when he said, when he was praying for his brother, he said, Hatzileni na miyad ahim miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, save me from my Esav. And the holy books say that Esav represents the Yetzirah. And Yaakov Avinu saying, save me from my brother Esav when he comes to me like Esav to try to kill me by doing Averot. But more importantly, Atzileni miyad ahi, when the Yetzirah comes like a brother. When he says, I'm religious like you. You think, I want you to go to Olam Haba. I have your interest. So that's one way we get out of it. We have to pray. And that's why every single morning in the prayers in our Sidurim, we say, Shetatzileni hayom ubchol yom miyetzirara. Save me from the Yetzirara. What does that mean? Save me from his deception, because he's not playing by the rules. He's a cheater. He doesn't follow the rules. And therefore, he gives the person all sorts of religious arguments. I mean, the brothers believed that they were religiously motivated, they were correct, until after later on, what do they come along and say? They come along and say, Hatanu, we're guilty. And Shaul also thought he was right. So this happens to the greatest Sadiqim. They get duped by him. He's a master at this. He can fool the Sadiqim into thinking that they're doing right when they're really doing wrong. And that's why the ideologue is a much worse, because the ideologue cannot be rebuked out of it. He has to be a deen. He has to be deprogrammed. And he doesn't make teshuvah. Because what should I make teshuvah on? A mitzvah? Just again, as an example, I'm giving you an example. I'll give you an example just so you have clarity on what I'm saying here tonight. I'm saying a big hadush here tonight. This is strategies against the Yetzer. That Moshe Chaim Nosato said it. Kol kula tzedicha bedika. Anytime you hear some sort of religious argument in your brain, you need to put it through 13 sifters to make sure that it's legitimate. Otherwise, it could be what's called the mitzvah ha'ba'a ba'avira. Everybody thinks that mitzvah ha'ba'a ba'avira means a mitzvah that's done through an avira, like stealing a lulav to shake it on Sukkot. They call that a mitzvah, lulav, but ha'ba'a ba'avira, I stole it. But the way we're learning it now, no, it's a mitzvah ha'ba'a ba'avira that comes wrapped in an avira. It's one item. It's a mitzvah ha'ba'a ba'avira. The packaging on the outside looks like a mitzvah, but inside it's an avira. That's what you have to be careful from. The mitzvah ha'ba'a ba'avira, it comes in the package of an avira. As an example, you remember the story of the spies? The 12 spies went into Eretz Yisrael on a mission. Anyway, what happens? Before they go, Moshe Rabbeinu calls his student Yehoshua. And he prays. He says, oh, Yudke, God should save you from the plot of the spies. And he gives him an extra letter in his name from Hosea to Yehoshua. And it worked. And I asked a simple question. Why does Yehoshua get the VIP treatment? I mean, you're putting him on the Tehillim list, so put the other 12 names, put the 11 names on the Tehillim. What's the question? Was you pray for all of them? No, Yehoshua. What do you mean, Yehoshua? They're all tzaddikim, so you're praying already, so pray for their success. Why does Yehoshua all of a sudden get a special, oh, yeah, Yehoshua, and it worked, so Moshe Rabbeinu pray for all of them. What the explanation is? Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet that ever lived. You know, you go to Israel today, the rabbis can look at your forehead, they can tell you what you ate for breakfast. Moshe Rabbeinu already knows everything. He can look at a person, he knows everything about him. When he sent the spies, he knew what their challenge was. He knew that their challenge was that they're going to want to talk bad about Israel, because then they don't have to go to Israel, they can retain their presidency. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, that means they're going to be driven to speak bad about the land because they're going to be driven by kavod. Now kavod is a blatant sin. You're not allowed to go after your kavod. Clearly the Torah says you have to be humble. You can't go after honor and accolade and acclaim. That's going to be this. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, it's a blatant sin. They're big boys. It's identifiable. They'll fight it. If that's their challenge, an identifiable sin like kavod, they're tzaddikim, these guys. They'll fight it. However, Yehoshua, the Targum writes, had a different angle. He was thinking in his head, Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. He said, you know what? If we go into Israel, what happens? Moshe dies. Because Moshe is not allowed to go into the land of Israel. So Yehoshua is thinking, if I could speak bad about the land of Israel, and I keep us in the desert, I'm actually giving Moshe Rabbeinu life. You know what type of mitzvah it is to give your Rebbe life? You know what it is? A mitzvah to keep your Rebbe alive. Who doesn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to live? And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Yetzer Hara on Yehoshua is giving him a religious motivation. He's telling him it's a mitzvah to speak bad. He says, on a mitzvah, there's only one way to get out of that. You got to pray to God that he gets saved from that. That's already a dirty trick. Kavod, then they can see it. Ani yireh b'sonai. Ani yireh b'sonai. Kavod, they'll handle it. They can see it. However, Hashem li be'ozrai. The Yetzer Hara is going to come to Moshe, Yehoshua, and tell him, yeah, I'm with you. Don't you love Moshe? I also love Moshe. You don't want to see him die, though, do you? You don't want to see him die? If he dies, all the spirituality of Klai Yisrael dies with him. We need to keep the prophet alive. Therefore, you know what? We're going to speak bad about the land of Israel, but with Kavanot. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. That's the deception of the Shochet Mishum Tzobeya. That's a classic example why you had to pray for him and not him. There's another way, obviously, to overcome this type of Yetzer Hara. And again, I'm saying a pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Im paga becha menuval ze, moshkeu lebet ha-midrash." It says, if this menuval, I don't know how to explain the word menuval. Meruval is what, a dirty one? Low life? And that's being nice, I'm being nice. How do you say Minuval? Despicable one. Minuval is a dirty one, is a low one. That's referring to the Yetzer Hara. It says, if this Minuval gets you, bring him to the Beit HaMidrash. I always wondered, why do you have to bring him to the Beit HaMidrash? Leave him on Ocean Parkway. You go to the Beit HaMidrash. What do you want to bring him to the Beit HaMidrash? For Moshe or the Beit HaMidrash? He doesn't want to go to the Beit HaMidrash. So what do you have to bring him to the Beit HaMidrash for? Moshe or the Beit HaMidrash? I mean, obviously he doesn't want to go because you're dragging him. Moshe or the Beit HaMidrash? He doesn't want to go either. The explanation is, there's another place where you can find the deception and uncover the Yetzer Hara's deceptions. That's in the yeshiva. Come to the yeshiva. You come to the yeshiva where the rabbis are, where the books are, where the hachamim are. If the Yetzer Hara comes to you in the street and starts to present, he's a minuval, he's presenting you dirtiness, he's presenting you garbage, but he sugarcoats the garbage. So the Gemara is calling him, hey, he's a minuval. He doesn't sell good stuff, he sells junk. He's a minuval. But if this minuval comes and he sugarcoats his garbage and you're about to buy it, take it to the Beit Midrash first and go ask the hachamim. Take that religious argument to the rabbis. You know, I wonder if the brothers would have consulted Yaakov Avinu, if they would have taken that religious argument to Yaakov. Maybe Yaakov would have told him, you're being blinded by the Yetzer Hara. That's not pshat. Yosef is not guilty. Problem is, they didn't take it to the Beit Midrash. You don't take it to the Beit Midrash. So then already, Chas v'Shalom, you can make the mistake. Moshe with the Beit HaMidrash. So those are the two ways to get out of this. Pray to Borei Olam that you don't get fooled. And get a rabbi. Get a rabbi to bounce off all your great ideas. I sit with the Hakamim. Kol yamai gudalti ben Hakamim. All my life I grew up and sat with rabbis. I still sit with rabbis all day long because I'm amazed by them. I sit with rabbis and I'm privy to hear all questions that come to them. Of course, I wouldn't dare to give my opinion in front of the rabbi, but I like to hear how they process it, how they deal with the questions. And I have to be honest, a lot of times people come, and I think to myself, you know, that's the greatest idea. It's a great idea, incredible. And then I see the rabbi come along and say, that's the Yetzer Hara talking. Whoa. Then I say, yes, I agree with the rabbi. I say, Yetzer Hara, terrible. How did you think of that idea? And you see, and they start to explain it to you. You see, you're being fooled. You didn't see this pitfall. You didn't see this danger. You didn't see what's going to happen. It looks good now, but it's a dangerous. But now he says, wow, look at that. That's why these people are hachamim. That they're able to see right through. But good, lucky is the one who asked the question who brought it to the Beit HaMidrash. Moshe on the Beit HaMidrash. Bring that religious argument to the yeshiva. To the hachamim that are sitting and learning in the books. And they'll be able to expose the Yetzer Hara for what he is. But if you're going to answer that question in the park, in the ball game, you're going to always come up with the wrong answer. Moshe on the Beit HaMidrash. And you have to pray for it. Oh, so with this we explained a Gemara. The Gemara is in Eruvin. The Gemara says, and this you heard me say this Gemara, I was saying a new pshat tonight. The Gemara says, Gedola avera lishma mimitzvah shelo lishma. The Gemara says, it's a Nazir, this Gemara as well. Gedola avera lishma, and avera lishem shamayim, whatever that means, I don't know how you can do an avera lishem shamayim. It doesn't really say Lashem Shamayim, it says Avera Lishma. And Avera for its sake is greater than the mitzvah Shelo Lishma. What does this Gemara mean even? The way we're learning tonight, you know what Avera Lishma means? A guy does an Avera for the sake of the Avera. He eats the cheeseburger because Lashem cheeseburger. He can't control himself. The Gemara says, guess what? As bad as that is, Gedola avera lishma, that's better, the Baal Ta'ava, than the guy who's doing a mitzvah shelo lishma, than the ideologue. than the guy that thinks he's doing a mitzvah, but it's really not a mitzvah. Because that guy will never make teshuvah. That guy, you can't rebuke him out of it. By the way, do I have to give you examples? Today, you have people that are running around the world blowing themselves up in airports, and they think they're doing God's work. They think they're doing God's will. And before they blow themselves up, they say, God is with me. God is great. So you see how far this can get. Where, you know, when the Yetzer will come to a person and start telling him, this is paradise, this is Gan Eden. This is how, I don't have to tell you history of the Crusaders. What did the Crusaders do? The Crusaders were the same thing. They killed millions of people in the name of God. And if you ask them, what did you do? They said, this is Gan Eden, what we did over here. This is what Hashem wants us to do. So we're not at that level, extreme level, but everybody on their level starts to rationalize and starts to think, we're right. Who says you're right? Did you open the books? Did you analyze? Did you chrabanim? Did you pray? No, I'm allowed to. It's not lashon hara. It's not this. It's not that. You're allowed to. It's proper. It's okay. It's fine. He did it first. I'm a reactor. Whatever the rationalization is. Scary thing is that it happened to Shaul HaMelech. It happened to the brothers. I mean, it happens to big people. That's the scary part of it. That the Yetzer Hara knows his game. He doesn't fool amateurs. He fools the tzaddikim. Tzaddikim nidmeh lahem kaham. The hardest of the tzaddikim. Kodshe kodashim shechitatan batzafon. Anyway, there's a Gemara in Berachot. I want to say Nupshat in the Gemara. Everything I'm saying tonight is Nupshatim, Rabotai. We never get a chance to learn Parashat Shemini. Finally get a chance to say something on this Parasha. Oh, what a Gemara. The Gemara says Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed. The Gemara says, Ukshachala Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai, Ichnesu Talmidim lebakero. כיוון שראה אותם התחיל לבכות. And they saw Rabbi Yohanan. He started to cry. And they couldn't believe it. Why are you crying? Chief Rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. He's crying. Could you imagine it? And at a certain point he tells them, you know why I'm crying? He says, שיש לפני שני דרכים. I have in front of me two roads. אחת של גן עדן ואחת של גהינם. ואין יודע באיזו מוליכין אותי. And I don't know which road they're taking me down. ולא אבכה, and I shouldn't cry. Wow. Am I to believe that the Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai at the end of his life does not know if he's going to Gan Eden or to Gehinnom? Because I see two roads. I see a road to Gan Eden, a road to Gehinnom, and I still don't know which road they're bringing me down. Rabotai, if Rabbi Yohanan doesn't know where he's going, so then let's just call it a night, we'll call it a day, we'll go, that's it, it's over. Surrender. We'll go and make a party now. What do you mean? Rabbi Yohanan, even you have a safek. Unless you tell me, no, he was trying to be dramatic in front of the students. Rabotai, don't be so sure of yourself. Even I don't know. I have a different shot. I'll tell you why I have a different shot. Because everybody learns this Gemara. It's talking about when I die, there's two roads in front of me. But he doesn't say over here about dying. He says, Sheyesh lefanai. It sounds like right now there's two roads in front of me. He's still alive. Ve'enu yodeya be'eze molichim. Molichim is present. I don't know which road they are bringing me now. He's talking about something now. You know what he was saying? L'fi'ani v'ta'ati, hadush tonight. Rabbi Yohanan was saying, I know the sins that I did, and I know the mitzvot that I did. That I'm clear on. On my mitzvot, I know that I'm mitzvot, and I know my averot, averot. I know the road of Gan Eden, and I know the road of Gehinnom. But you know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about Shnei derachim, echad shel Gan Eden ve'echad shel Gehinnom, ve'eni yodea be'ezem molichim oti. I don't know
which road the Yetzer is bringing me down, because sometimes he switches the signs. The road of Gehinnom, he switches the signs and he writes Gan Eden. So I don't know which road I'm going down. I think I'm going down the road of Gan Eden, but it's Gehinnom road. The Yetzer Hara, with all his concoctions and all his seductions, any Yodeya. I don't know anymore. He said, I'm the leader of Israel. I'm making decisions for Klal Yisrael. And I have to make sure that I make the right decisions. And I see a big sign, the road to Gan Eden. But any Yodeya, is it Derech Molichim Oti? Is that really the road to Gan Eden? Or the Satan, who's the Soveya, painted the sign? And he says, on that velo ifkeh, that I have to cry. Because for that, I don't even know if I'm in the wrong or the right. He says, for my averot, I don't cry. Averot, I have a way out. But I'm just worried that maybe there was decisions that I made in my life that I think it was the Gan Eden road. But maybe the Yetzer Hara fooled me. Velo ifkeh, for that I shouldn't cry. Based on what I'm saying on this pshat of the Gemara, that gets the tzaddikim to cry. Averot, you deal with averot. But when you don't know, you don't know, that already is a cause to cry. And now I go back to our story of the children of Aharon. You know the Baal HaTorim lists six sins that the children of Aharon were guilty of? I'm not going to come to list them all, and from drinking wine, from putting wood on the Mizbeach, for not getting married, a whole list of sins. Can I ask you a simple question? Were Nadav and Abihu not tzaddikim? Of course they were tzaddikim. As a matter of fact, after they died, Moshe Rabbeinu reacts and says, oh, Bikrovai Ekadesh. Look how holy these are the holiest ones amongst us. So I ask you a question. The holiest ones amongst us, and they commit six elementary sins? You know what the explanation must be, Rabotai? That while we know they were sins, they must have not known what they were doing was a sin. Because they wouldn't have done it. You have a doubt? You think Nadav and Abihu eat a cheeseburger? Of course not. How did they drink wine? That an answer. It's mutar. Why did they get married? Mitzvah for us. Why do we bring wood on the Mizbeah? Read everything. They could write you a whole book on why they did everything they did. I have no doubt, because otherwise they wouldn't have done it. And that's why, by the way, if you look at the Pesukim keep on saying that everything that they did, look how many times it says the word Lifnei Hashem. Vayakribu Lifnei Hashem. Vatetze'esh v'lifnei Hashem. Vayamutu Lifnei Hashem. This was Lifnei Hashem they were doing it. And then the Pasuk says in Parashat Acharemot, Acharemot shenei b'nei Aharon bekorbatam lifnei Hashem. Their sin was a sin lifnei Hashem. They thought they were lifnei Hashem. You know what happens? The problem is they got duped. They got duped. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael, you see this, Rabotai? I know you're crying because we lost two tzaddikim. That's emotions that I don't have to tell you to cry. But v'chol bet Yisrael, even the tzaddikim, v'chol, everybody has to cry now. Why? Yivku eta serefa, not ala serefa, eta serefa. You have to cry the reason why this happened. Because if they got fooled, anybody can get fooled. Yivku eta serefa. The crying is now, we lost two tzaddikim. Okay, we cry. But look how we lost them.
If the Yetzer Hara was able to seduce them into thinking that six sins were mitzvot, and guess what? Look at the Kafa Hayim when he quotes this minhag to cry on Kippur. I have no doubt that this is what it means now. Because you know what? Kippur is the day of Kapara. So they give us the Mahzor. The Mahzor is unbelievable. The Mahzor says there's 365 Averot. It lists them in Aleph Bet order. Every single sin in the book. And they say, stand there, take your fist, boom, boom, bang them out. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it says, open the next page, it'll give you 248 mitzvot, bang them out. Good. But there's only one problem. There's another vidui. That vidui is not in the Mahzor. That's the vidui of the Averot that we don't know that the Averot. Where's that? That Kippur cannot fix. So you know what they do? They say, Rabotai, even though they didn't die today, but we're going to retell the story of the children of Aharon. And everybody on Kippur better start crying. You know why? Kafa Hayim says, V'achai yiten libo im ba'arazim nafla shalhevet. Ma ya'asu ezovekir. If the fire was able to hit the cedar trees, what is the little brush going to do in the wall? That's why you're crying. You say, if they fell prey to the Shochet Mishum Tzoveya, and they couldn't spot six blatant sins, and at that time, you know why you're crying? You're saying, Borei Olam, please forgive me for the mitzvot that I did this year, that I didn't realize they were sugar-coated. And I don't even know what they are. I don't even know what they are. So you just start to cry. That's the kapara for the vidui that's not in the mahzor. V'chol bet Yisrael yivku etaserefa. Etaserefa means the reason why they were nisraf. Not that they were nisraf. Otherwise it say, v'chol bet Yisrael yivku etamita. Yivku ala serefa. Cry about the fire. No, etaserefa means the reason why it happened. The reason why it happened, then we're all in trouble. Last but not least, you know, if I had to give you a mashal, some of you maybe went fishing once in your life. You go fishing, so there's two types of fishermen. One, he's an honest guy. He drops the hook in the water. It's a hook. And he said, listen, if the fish is smart, he's not going to bite the hook. The fish are not so smart. He might bite the hook, but listen, I don't want to fool anybody. Then you have somebody else. And he says, no. He takes the hook and he puts a fish on the hook. And he covers the hook. And now it starts to dangle in the water. And the fish comes along and says, oh, look at this Sadiq over here. He gives me a Saudah. Who's your site, is it? He gives me a free fish over here. Saudah Shilishit, Menabe Malka, Shtabah Habore. And all of a sudden he bites into the fish. All of a sudden underneath it, he says, oh, he got me. There's a hook. He didn't see the hook. That's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara. If he shows you the hook, the tzaddik says, I'm not going to bite. So he puts the fish on the hook. And that's maybe what Rabbi Akiva says. That after the children of Aharon died, now they had to get them out of the Kodesh Kodashim. How are they going to get them out? Rabbi Akiva Omer. Shenatnu hakash el barzel. They took a metal hook. Letoch pihem. And everybody stared there and says, this is like a fish. They're trapping a fish. A hook in their mouth and pulling it out of the water. The explanation is, because that's what happened over here. The Yetzer Hara came over here like somebody that's trapping a fish. He fooled them into thinking it's a mitzvah. But the hook was underneath. They died from the hook that was underneath the fish. And therefore Rabbi Akiva is saying that was part of the Musar of Klai. When they saw them pulling out, they said, this is the Musar of the Dagim. They started to cry. If they were able to seduce this big Sadiq, Nadav Avihu, how are we going to know if there's a hook underneath all the good deeds that we're doing? What's the Ezovekir going to do? And this is what we're up against. So, absolutely, the Yetzer deserves to be slaughtered. On that day of the of when Mashiach comes, for sure he deserves to be nishat, because he doesn't play by the rules. Don't ask me on the way out, I thought angels don't have free will and all that. The Baal Shem says what he says. I know all of you think, oh, we're the free will, how can they do it against God? Figure it out, ask another rabbi. The Baal Shem Tov says what he says. And maybe angels do have free will. I'm not so sure that they don't have free will. Just that they're so close to God that their free will doesn't even manifest itself. Because how could you make a sin in front of God? But the Yetzer Hara is traveling all around the world. He's in the bad places all day long. So maybe his free will is able to, however you want to learn it. What do I learn from this class over here, Rabotai? Gedola avera lishma. We have to be aware of the mitzvahs of shelo lishma, the mitzvot that are shelo lishma, the mitzvot that have avirot underneath them. And that's the only way you can solve that issue is either Hashem li be'ozera, you got to pray that Borei Olam saves you from that deception, or Moshkehu lebet ha-midrash. You got to bring those questions to the Bet ha-midrash, and you have to ask the Hachamim. You cannot take the law into your own hand. Because a law like that is not going to be enough to get tochecha. It's not enough to get a rebuke. That's going to require deen. The ideologue has to be now spoken with papers now to try to, logical arguments to prove it to him why he made a mistake. Oilanu miyom adin. And I pray that Be'ezat Hashem, Borei Olam should give us a protection to save us from this soveya. From the one that paints the truth, shochet hayav mishum soveya, and then Be'ezat Hashem will come the day where that yetzirah will be destroyed and will be fulfilled. Al pasuk bila amavet lanetzah. Amen. Can you do that?